Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
The new movie Lincoln, directed by Steven Spielberg, starring Daniel Day-Lewis, portrays the nation's 16th president as he pushed, cajoled, and horse-traded his way toward the Emancipation Proclamation.
We begin with equality. It's the origin, isn't it? That's justice.
Abolishing slavery settles the fate for millions now in bondage.
We must cure ourselves of slavery. This amendment is that cure!
And yet Lincoln wasn't always so committed to ending slavery, but it turns out that Boston played a significant role in igniting his fire for the anti-slavery movement. Christopher Klein wrote about this in the Boston Globe in a piece he called How Boston Changed Lincoln. And Chris Klein, welcome to Radio Boston. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So tell us the story. Lincoln arrives in Boston on September 15th, 1848, as you write. He's a freshman congressman from Illinois. What brought him all the way to Boston?
Well, it may be surprising, but the great emancipator came to Boston to stump for one of the country's largest slaveholders to be president of the United States. So he's an early backer of Zachary Taylor, the Mexican War hero, as president of the United States. And even though Lincoln's ideals don't necessarily sync up with Taylor, he backs him for a purely political reason, because he can win. And he's sent up to Boston, where there's a bit of a revolt going on in Lincoln's Whig Party. And Massachusetts is a very strong Whig territory at that time. But there's a lot of concern among the people of Boston because they don't want to back the slaveholder, Taylor, and they're looking to bolt to a third party, the Free Soil Party. So Lincoln's job here is to try to get the Whig Party members to close ranks behind their nominee.
So what do we know about Lincoln's own attitude towards slavery at that time?
It's sort of, you know, you look at Lincoln's career, and what's really amazing is sort of this evolution. And Lincoln certainly believes that slavery is an evil institution. But as a member of the Whig Party, his personal belief is that there's not really much that can be done about slavery in the territories that exist. So his focus is on preventing the further extension of slavery into any new states admitted into the Union or new territories.
So Lincoln comes to Boston, but the headliner is William Seward, who later becomes Lincoln's Secretary of State.
Yeah, this happens on the last night of Lincoln's visit to Boston, and both he and Seward are among the speakers at a big Whig Party rally that's held at the Tremont Temple. And Seward is the big name there. He's a former governor of New York, very strong anti-slavery credentials. The two men had never met before. They meet each other here in Boston. And it's an event that really has an impact on Lincoln, because they don't meet again for another 12 years, but Lincoln still remembers that meeting very well to Seward and tells him how much it meant to him that when Seward talked about that they would, you know, be successful in their anti-slavery campaign, that, you know, Lincoln really took that to heart and believed it.
So Seward, when he was here in Boston, gives a speech, basically an anti-slavery speech,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, Seward focuses on the anti-slavery. Lincoln is giving his standard stump speech, which he's giving all around Boston. Afterwards, he's really struck by Seward's tone and tells Seward that he reckons that, you know, maybe something really more needs to be done in terms of this slavery issue.
So 1848, Lincoln visits Boston. 1860, Lincoln wins the presidency. How did this shift in his thinking about slavery manifest itself in those 12 years?
Well, you know, I think, interestingly enough, you might actually see it in the first couple of months after he returns to Washington after being here in Boston. You know, he has that meeting with Seward. He also realizes the depth of the anti-slavery feeling here. He has this quote that he told when he was here in Massachusetts, that the people of Illinois feel very similar to the people of Massachusetts when it comes to slavery, only that they don't think about it as constantly as the people in Massachusetts do. So when he goes to Washington, he actually starts drafting legislation that would emancipate the slaves in the District of Columbia. But it's a very cautious bill. It includes compensation for slaveholders, the rights of fugitive slaves to be returned, and basically it doesn't please people on any sides and becomes a political non-starter. But you see him then starting to dip his toe into the slavery issue there, He then is elected in 1860, and, you know, even then he's not necessarily for the emancipation of slaves. He's sort of walking this line between his ideals and what the what's politically possible to be achieved.
Seward, of course, remains very much part of Lincoln's consciousness for,
yes,
for a long time. He appoints him Secretary of State.
Exactly. And, you know, you see, and if you see the movie Lincoln, you see Seward sort of Lincoln's right-hand man there. And the two actually are competing for the 1860 Republican nomination. And Seward is actually backed by the people here in Massachusetts, so much so that when Lincoln passes through town in 1860, he doesn't give any speeches here because this is really Seward country. But once Lincoln gets the nomination, wins the presidency, he brings Seward into his cabinet as Secretary of State, and Seward really plays that important role as his right-hand man.
So is it fair to say that without that trip to Boston in 1848, Lincoln might not have turned out to be the great emancipator as we remember him?
Yeah, I don't know. That might be overstating a bit, because I think what makes Lincoln such a fascinating figure, and the reason you see all these hundreds of books out there, is that this is sort of a constant political journey that he is on, from, you know, where his beliefs are and how he approaches the political issue. And I think Boston certainly plays a role in that in 1848, and in a much larger role when he becomes president as well.
Fascinating story. Christopher Klein, thanks so much for sharing this bit of history with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Anthony.
Christopher Klein is a Boston Globe correspondent and an online contributor to the History Channel. You can find a link to his piece, How Boston Changed Lincoln, at radioboston.org.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.